you specialize in music, most people think French or truth, then make sure you check out our Facebook page, Instagram, and our website. Let us show what lies within.
Yo, this is John from Noise Dosage Media, and this episode is brought to you by Begrudgingly Benny. Interested in putting something horrific and grotesque on your next piece of merch? Benny is tucked away in the fiery depths of COVID quarantine, blasting the filthiest of old school death metal and drawing hideous creatures that he is waiting for you to adopt. Go over to Instagram and follow at Begrudgingly Benny and contact him if you would like some really weird original art for your band or label. Super professional, highly recommended.
It's Chris here from Skeletor Remains.
Fuck yeah. Hey.
How's it going, dude?
I'm impressed, man. I like how you guys are running double angles.
Oh, yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, we're big fans of those monsters of ass.
Now, do you have a powerball? Because I have a fireball.
Yeah, I have a... So I use a Powerball too, and then Mike, my guitar player, he uses a Fireball too as well.
Okay.
Yeah,
they fucking kick ass, man. You can't beat them.
Yeah, most definitely, man. Those things are real. Like, I picked up my Powerball, I want to say maybe like 10 years ago, and I haven't had a problem since. And I haven't even thought about looking for a different amp because it just fucking rules so damn much.
So people say to me all the time, geez, man, why don't you rock a 5150? How could you describe the difference to an average person?
You know, I was always a big fan of the 5150, especially the 5152, because that one, you know, you don't really need to write anything in front of it. You can just go DI. I mean, but the 5150, especially for death metal, I would usually run a tube screamer or something like that, you know, in front of it, a Maxim or something, and that would just tighten it up for me and make it a little bit more gainier, which is what I needed for death metal. But Once I found out about angle and I used, you know, the Powerball, the first Powerball, actually, that was the first one I used. I used it on a tour we did with Morbid Angel in Europe with a different band. And, I was just fucking blown away, man. Like, it sounded, especially for like my solos, that's one thing that really stood out for me. Like, they were just so warm sounding and organic and not so like saturated and like fake sounding. I don't know how to explain it. And not too much on like the very bright, how do I explain it? Like, not like the, there's something about the 5150 is good, but when it comes to the lead for me, like it just sounds too like ear piercing, like too bright for me. And even if I turn down like the trebles or anything like or the presence or whatever, it's still a little too much for me. And I found with the Powerball, like it's just perfect for rhythms and leads. And overall, I think it's just a way more, you know, wider sounding app compared to the 5150. But I'm a fan of the 5150s myself. So
right. I totally agree with everything you just said there. The one thing I really like about the angle is like you could play it at bedroom level with tubes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, exactly.
5150, you can't do that. Like you have to crank it.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want the balls from the 5150, you have to definitely put that volume like pretty up there, you know. And it sounds fucking amazing once it's up there. But yeah, the Powerball, like even if you have it at fucking, you know, one or two, like it sounds fucking amazing already.
So what was your introduction to angle?
I got introduced from this band from LA. Well, they're not from LA. I think they're from like, they were from Orange County, I think Pomona maybe. This thrash, they used to play in a different band, a thrash band. And we did a tour with this band Bonded by Blood.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with them. I think Alex, the guitar player, was one of the first persons I've seen playing with them. And I just thought they sounded fucking amazing, especially for his leads. You know, every time you see him ripping up there, his leads were just like in your face. It sounded like perfectly warm. I don't know. I was really into it, and that's how I was introduced to it. And then I started looking into it myself, and we did that tour with Morbid Angel, and they asked us like, hey, we needed a backline rental, and they're like, what do you prefer? And I was just like, do you guys have any angles by any chance? I've been really wanting it, you know, because I mean, I probably could have just gone somewhere. I mean, I don't think they had a guitar tonight at that point. They I'm not even sure if Angle had a showroom yet.
I can't remember. Well, the thing is, I got mine through Guitar Center, but I had to buy it used.
Online. Yeah. So, this was maybe like 2010 when I first found out about him, 2009. And, I was asked if I, like, what app I would want to use, and I seen the Powerbond. I was like, fuck it, I'll give that a shot. And yeah, ever since I used it on that tour, I kind of just fell in love. Yep. Once I found out there was a Powerball 2, like, it just took it to the next level. Because the Powerball 1 was good. You know, I really enjoyed it. Obviously, that's what kind of, like, turned me on to Angle. But when I tried the Powerball 2 here at the showroom, because shortly after I did that tour. So I did that tour, and I was using the Powerball. We were touring with Nile. And I actually turned on Carl Sanders from Nile to Angle, because he was so amazing on the tour himself. And he was like, dude, I've never heard of these Angles. And I'm like, yeah, dude, they're actually from Germany. So he hit a Angle himself, and he's like, hey, like, there's a kid in the fucking one of the support bands that's using Angles, and like, I'm totally blown away. And we had a show. There was a show in Germany. I think it was somewhere near the main Angle manufacturer is. And they came out and they brought him, like, I think 2 Invaders or something for him to try out for that show. And he kind of was the one that's like, hey, you know, I'm using Angle because of this guy. You know, he's the one that, you know, kind of introduced me to them, you know, from this tour. Right. And then that's kind of how I got in touch with them. And they're like, hey, well, you know, would you be interested in, like, you know, being one of our artists? And I was like, hell yeah. And then,
I got a deal with them.
And then once I got home, there was a, you know, they had, I think they were going earlier. I can't remember. They already had their LA showroom. And then I went in, tried out a few, and I was just really blown away with the Powerball, especially for what I was doing. I mean, I really like the special edition, but, you know, from more straightforward death metal where I'm just using
gain
channel and the fucking lead channel, like, that's perfect for me. Yeah.
Weird. To clarify something funny that happened to me today. So I bought a Axe FX, and my buddy, he calls me. He's like, hey, man, what do you think of the Axe FX? I'm going to sell my 5150. I go, how about this? I'll sell you my Axe FX. I'll take the 5150. Because, like, that's all you need, man. That's
man.
You don't need all the fucking gadgets. But.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, especially for, I mean, there's some death metal bands that are doing completely different things that, you know, sometimes, you know, you can, I mean, I've even looked into, like, getting something that's, like, meaty capable, you know, to, like, run, like, something like that, like an Axe FX or something crazy, but I don't know, it's just, to be honest, I don't really need it. It's just me kind of, like, being rude about it and kind of, like, learn about it, but I'm playing just for the fucking Powerball, you know, DI, and maybe, like, a delay pedal in the effects, but just for my soul, so, yeah, man, I've been using the same, like, configuration, the same setup for the past, I don't know, 10 years or so, so, yeah, I can't complain, man. I'm really, really happy with
it. Yeah,
that's like, what, you know, every time anybody asks about them, I'm like, dude, stop wasting your time trying to
just buy it.
Just go fucking get an Angle. Yeah.
Stop fucking around. So is there any gear in the future that you're planning on purchasing? Not amps, you know, something. It could be guitars, upgrades, whatever.
I've been talking to a few people about actually doing like a custom stuff, like a custom guitar.
Yeah.
So, I've been thinking about doing something like that just because I really like what I'm using a Schecter now, the Jepson, this model, and they're like discontinued. And I'm just really stoked on that shape. So,
yeah.
I'm probably going to try and like do a custom, shape similar to that. Maybe I'm thinking about adding like a kick guard or something and see how that would look. So.
Right.
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, but for amps, like, I'm always, like, fucking around with pedals and shit like that. So, I was looking into, what was I looking into last? I can't remember what it was.
Well, I got, when I run my Angle, the two things I have is a carbon copy and a Hall of Fame.
Okay, killer. Yeah, I used the carbon copy for a long time, but I figured out, I found out about this, Tech 21 boost delay pedal that I use now.
Okay.
And I just like, that's like everything for me, like that. I put that in the effects loop, and then anytime a solo comes up, I just press that, and it's a delay plus a boost in one, so it's like perfect, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, you can pull it off without, you know, having a boost. Cause I used to do that. I used to just switch.
Yeah, I don't have any boosts on mine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for a while I just went completely without a boost, and just anytime a solo would come up, I just hit the delay or the effects and for my carbon copy. But yeah, once I found this Tekton, unfortunately I think it's they don't make them anymore. Or I think I mean, when I was looking for this was like 3 years ago, they were completely like out of the market, so I had to buy used. But there's a lot of cool ones that I've been, like the Different Levitation just came out with something very similar. I think his is boost delay and reverb in one. So.
Right.
My guitar player uses that one, and it sounds really fucking awesome. But yeah, fuck, I can't remember what was the pedal. Oh, it's the H9. That's what I was looking at. H9 by Eventide. So
okay.
I was thinking about getting that for a while, just because I heard a lot of good things, and I was looking into that, but I never pulled the trigger for it. I still haven't gotten around to getting one. But
right.
Yeah, mostly, I mean. Yeah, I haven't really, like, I'm honestly pretty happy with what I have right now, so I'm not really, like,
yeah.
I never go out of my way to go look for something new. It's mostly when I am
just
looking for
guitars.
Something new. Sorry?
I said just guitars, like me.
Yeah,
like,
that's always something, like, I'm always in search for, like, the old school universes, the Ibanez universes, like,
yeah.
The ones that Trey and Eric Rutan would use. Like, I've been trying to find one from the 90s, at least. I know they did, like, a newer version, I think they did, but my
yeah.
guitar player Mike bought one, and it wasn't that good. It was okay, but yeah, I'm always for like guitars. Yeah, dude, like I can never say no to guitars. So if I ever see anything cool, like I definitely try to pick it up. I'm a big Iron Bird fan. But those things are so,
hell yeah,
so overhyped right now that like a guitar that would cost, you know, $400.
Oh, I know.
Ago,
I know.
Now costs
yeah.
$2,000.
Yeah, there's like a few bands that play those, and now like that's the rave.
Yeah, but. It seems like everybody has them. I mean, it's not a bad thing, you know. They're fucking killer, fucking models and killer, you know, shapes. So I'm a big fan of those. Anytime I come up, like I see one, like I always try to like, you know, see if I can pick it up. But they're just too overpriced nowadays. So yeah,
right.
I'm always on the look for new guitars, man. Like, you know. Definitely those old school Ibanezes, you know, I mean, like, especially the J&Ms, like the old school, those were ones that Steve I used, I think in the 90s with like the pyramid coming down the fretboard. And,
oh yeah.
I'm a really big fan of those, but unfortunately I haven't found one, but I'm always on the lookout for one. I mean, not a lot of people like to let those go, so it's hard to find.
Right. So I was watching your, new music video, Dissect to See, and I saw a comment that was actually fucking hilarious, and I wanted to make sure that you saw it.
yeah, my brother was mentioning, he was looking at the comments, he was mentioning about that yesterday.
So
I haven't really checked them out, but go ahead.
One day ago, Resist Non-Existent said, imagine being a landlord and this is the band Tenet.
Yeah,
like,
that's the one that my brother was talking about yesterday.
That dude, that was the funniest fucking thing. Like,
no, dude, there was a comment. I don't know if it was just recently. Somebody commented like, "Oh, these guys would definitely not be getting the deposit back," or some funny shit like that. I could have stopped laughing when I saw that. I did see that comment because my brother mentioned it yesterday. And I looked into it. Like,
yeah, dude, were those white walls? That's my question.
Was what?
I said, was that like a white walled room? Because I know you guys were freaking like covered.
Yeah. No, so the way, I think the walls had like, I'm not sure if they were, I can't remember too well. I'm not sure if they were white or they had some sort of wallpaper. So the place wasn't an actual apartment. It was actually like a really big studio where they like, they had like this crazy, what do you call it, mixing room that looked like, you know, the fucking mixing room that Metallica did the Black Album in.
Oh, fuck.
It was a really cool big studio, and they just randomly had like this location that looked like a 70s apartment.
Yeah.
So we used that, but it was definitely not like an actual, I mean, it was fucking awesome the way it looked, but I can't remember if it was a white room, but we definitely covered a lot of stuff up so like the blood wouldn't get everywhere. Like
the fucking carpets are
yeah.
gone.
Yeah, no, we definitely put shit down. You just can't see it in the video. I don't even think we're wearing shoes in the video, but he, like, edited so that wouldn't come out. But, yeah, like, he even made the blood, like, a certain way, so it's kind of, like, thicker, and it's not, like, going everywhere. the director. We worked with a really cool director, so he knew what the fuck was up, you know. If it would have been us doing it, we probably would have fucked that place up.
Yeah, I do that kind of stuff myself. So I watch a video, I'm like, damn, that room is fucked after that shot, dude.
Yeah, dude, originally, actually, that whole video was supposed to have, like, a narrative. That's the reason we got the location, because it was supposed to be more, like, 70s, kind of, like, I guess, kind of, like, slasher, like, this dude was going to be, like, dissecting himself, and we had this cool plot, like, that we were going to use, but things kind of fucked up last minute, so it didn't work out. We just kind of worked with what we had, but I'm pretty fucking happy with how everything came out. It looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, I like that video because it's not like, I don't know, when bands do like full-on cinema, like fucking movies,
Right.
I mean, it's cool, but at the same time, like, I'm just trying to fucking see some death metal, like.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people, I mentioned it to a lot of people, like, it was actually supposed to be this, and they're like, nah, dude, like, it's perfect how it is. Like, it's actually better that you guys didn't do that, because sometimes that can be too much, you know. And we did something similar on the video before, really stupid. And we're kind of thinking about it, like, yeah, maybe it would have been a little too much, but yeah, we're happy, man. We're happy with how everything came out. It seems like everybody really liked it.
Yeah.
So, it's fucking cool that people are enjoying the music.
So, here's a question for you. What are 3 tips to make a band stay alive for more than 5 years?
Shit. Don't fucking play in a band. No, I don't know, man.
Don't start.
I don't know, man. I mean, if you really went as far as 2 years doing it, like, and you're happy doing it, then keep going. If you're not happy, just stop. That's one thing I can say. Like, there's people that do it, and, like, I don't know what they're searching for, but sometimes it's, like, it just doesn't want, like, I don't know. It's not for everybody, you know? But
yeah,
I don't know, man. It's kind of hard because a lot of bands don't get to tour, like, actually experience a full tour to maybe after 5 years, so it's kind of hard to say. Like, yeah, I would say if you can experience an actual tour and being on the road, and that's going to let you decide if this is for you or not, because that being on the road is not easy, you know. It's pretty tough, and you know, that's one of the biggest, like, things that happens when you're in a band, you know. You have to be touring to make money and, you know, to get out there. So yeah, I don't know. I guess I would say that. Besides that, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not really sure. I mean, I'm not really sure how we fucking got into this. I guess it just has to do because of the love of the music, you know? Even if we're not making money, you know, I mean, we still come home to jobs and try to get a job to support our families and pay bills. And, this is more of kind of like, we're just in it because we've been in it for so long, and it's just more of the love of the style of music, you know? It's like,
right.
It's almost like our escape from society and from all the bullshit. So yeah, we love doing it, man. But I don't know. That's a tough one. I've never gotten asked that. I'm not always the best with like.
No, it's cool.
It's
kind of
just
throwing,
like, get out there and experience it.
Yeah, I love throwing fucking curveballs that people don't ask, man.
Yeah, that's cool. That was definitely.
So when you guys started out playing, did you guys do like weekend runs or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's kind of weird. We didn't do, like, our first actual European tour, which is our first tour in general, because there's people that do, you know, 3-4 days, and they call that a tour, a weekend or something. But we never did that until after our first tour, and our first tour was probably, like, I think, I want to say maybe 4 weeks in Europe. So our first tour actually was in Europe because our label that we were signed to at the time was based out of Germany, and I felt like that's why we were a lot more popular in Europe than here, you know. It's kind of weird, but it's just the way it works for us. But we did, I mean, after that tour, we definitely started doing a lot of, like, West Coast stuff, like San Francisco, Portland, LA, San Diego, stuff like that. And then, but yeah, for the most part, yeah, it was definitely, I mean, we definitely did a few little, like, 3-day, 4-day tour things here and there. But yeah, I mean, that's always cool because, you know, you're not too far from home and, you know, you'll be back in a couple of days. As if you, like, go to tour in Europe for, like, a month or 2 months, like, that shit fucking, I mean, it doesn't feel as long when you're on the tour, but, you know, some of us have kids and it's kind of hard, you know, being away for so long. So
for sure.
So, yeah, there's always a love-hate thing for anything that happens in the band. You know, we love doing it, but it sucks being away from home for so long, but But yeah, we definitely did a couple of those 3 to 4 day stuff.
Okay. All right. So here's a pretty bland question, but I'm curious to hear, what was like your first introduction to the underground local metal scene?
Well, like I said, for me personally, I started, like, I mean, we were in, I was in a band, I think, maybe when I was, like, in, I don't know, I want to say 9th grade. I was probably, like, 14.
Fuck,
and it was
yeah.
just, like, us, like, fucking around at the end. I don't even think we were a part
Yo,
of it.
Yo, man,
just,
I got the riff.
Yeah, it was just... So it was nothing crazy, and then I kind of got into the scene, like into the whole LA underground scene, when I joined my first official, like, serious band, which is this thrash band, Chilled by Fire. And they were already kind of, they had already released one record, I think a few demos or EPs, not just a demo thing. And they were signed already to Metal Blade Records, so they were already kind of going, you know, they've already been around for a while. And I joined them when I was like 17 and started touring Europe and doing a bunch of local shows. And so I was introduced to, you know, the whole like local LA scene quite early.
Right.
But yeah, that's kind of how it happened. I just,
the high school fucking band.
Yeah. High school band. And I auditioned for this other band and I joined. And from then I kind of just started, you know, touring all the time and learning as I went, you know, different things from touring or just being in that band and experiencing different shit. And then once I actually started this band, you know, which was obviously starting, you know, from the ground up, it was a whole different experience, you know, than joining a band that has been already, like, has already a well-established fan base and, you know, had one record out and was like I joined it, I think, like a few weeks later I went on tour. So it was fucking awesome. You know? I had
That's
some
sick.
Yeah, I had some of the best times of my life with that band and those dudes. So yeah, I think that's how I got introduced to it, just joining now, you know, that
okay.
band.
Sweet.
So yeah, pretty.
Pretty so last thing here is, what do you think all artists and or like performers have in common, and what advice could you give to someone just starting out writing?
Starting out, like writing their own music.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't know, man. Fucking let it come from the heart. I mean, you know, everybody's first fucking song is not going to be the best. I mean, I fucking listened to one of the first songs I wrote was, you know, with this band, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know how to do it. And, you know, a lot of that stuff from the first song I wrote, for example, like me and Mike wrote together. Like, I know that it should seem like another band, because we were just influenced by all, I mean, it still does, but, you know, obviously I think now has more of our own taste, and like kind of, I feel like we're kind of finding our own sound now, but, you know, for like the first demo, like, you know, it sounded like this band or that band. So, I don't know, I would just say, you know, fucking take from your influences, you know, yeah, I don't know. Try and just fucking do it, I guess. I don't know.
Just send it. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to promote? What do you got? I don't know. It's your time.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing we have right now at the moment is just that record coming out on the 11th, which is, I think, next Friday. And yeah, besides that, that's pretty much it. I mean, we have a bunch of stuff, you know, on our online store that you can find, like, all a bunch of merch and, you know, the new album and old stuff. So yeah, I would just say check out our, you know, social media pages, just like Skeleton Remains on Facebook or Instagram, and we're always posting our shit there. But yeah, man, that's about it. I mean, we don't have any shows at the moment because of the whole pandemic situation. So, we don't really have much of that to promote, but all there really is right now is just, you know, that record. That's kind of what we've been waiting around for. So that should be out in about a week or so. And yeah, man, and that's pretty much it. And fuck, thank you for having me, and thanks to anybody that's listening. And hopefully we'll be out there on the road sooner than later. Now.
Yes, hopefully the fucking world comes back to normal, whatever normal is.
Right. Who knows what normal will be once it does come back.
Yeah. All right. Well, come to fucking Rochester. That's where I'm at. So
Yeah, man. We're planning on fucking hitting everything as soon as this is over, and you know, hopefully we can start touring this new record and playing these new songs for everybody. So, but yeah, man, that's our plan. Get out and try to fucking play everywhere. So, hopefully we'll be in your town soon.
All right. Freaking sick, man. I'll talk to you later. Thanks for spending 25 minutes with me. It was fucking a pleasure.
No problem, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you. You stay safe, man. Take care.
Yep, see ya.